Well, aren't y'all pretty? Looky here. I'm usually looking at y'all from the back. Now I get to see all y'all from the front side. I get to see if you're sleeping, if you're snoring, if you're snoozing. I guess that's the advantage of preaching, huh? You get to know who you got to reprimand after the sermon. That's the reason I got this, too, and a pen. I'm writing down names. No. Okay, yeah, that's right. I can still reprimand you for it. No, Brother Nate asked me last Sabbath if I would be able to speak, and I told him that my family had planned this weekend to go out to Branson, Missouri, and actually going to be making a stop here and there in different places, but I was talking to my mother. And it was on Monday. I think it was on Monday because I was on my way to Missouri. I went with her out there. So he was having a bunch of flooding and everything, trying to take care of the cattle out there. And I was saying, I'd really like to be there on Sabbath, but, you know, I understand you guys have that plan and everything. She said, oh, well, we'll just hold it off then, you know, till tonight. We'll probably end up heading down there. If we would pray for my family. My grandpa died on Thursday afternoon. They're burying him today. So that's the reason my mom and dad aren't here. They'd be here otherwise. That's my dad's dad. But we're going to start this out in Romans chapter 8. You guys can follow along with me or you can listen. Of course, I'll have to find it myself first. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 6. Now, everybody hears the first part of this first verse, and that's good. It's a very good verse. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We was talking about that this morning, talking about the law, talking about different things. I know I was praying, been praying all week, that the Lord would introduce this the way He wants to. Okay? It was, I don't know what night, I can't remember, I think it was Wednesday night. I couldn't get no sleep. I wasn't feeling very good at all. Went to bed, I don't know, about 1 o'clock before I got to sleep. And then woke up about 3 o'clock, couldn't sleep. And I just started praying. I said, God, you know, help me out here. There's a reason I'm awake, you know. Started giving me some stuff, so I started writing stuff down. It's the way God works sometimes. You know, I couldn't get nothing else. I was praying. I couldn't get nothing else. So I said, okay. I went and turned off my light. I got back in bed and getting ready to fall asleep again. And something else came to my mind. I said, well, I guess I'm supposed to write that down too. So I went and flipped back on the light. Started that all over again. But so I pray this. I pray this blesses you guys. But there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So that means we're free to do whatever we want, right? You know, free to go out and, I don't know. You guys ever heard of the points game? You know, driving down the highway and see somebody walking down the road, just hit them and get 10 points. You know, if they're decrepit, you know, that's an extra 5 points, something like that. We're free to do that, right? According to this scripture right there, the way most people tend to quote it. Let's read on. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I was listening to the other day a minister speaking about the Sabbath, and he was saying it's law, it's a good thing to do. It's all. I mean, I just loved his sermon. Then there at the last, he said, but Romans 8:1 says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So we know we're all going to fall, and there's no condemnation if you don't keep it, if you don't do what God requires of you, and so on and so forth. Well, that DVD's going in the trash now. I can't give that to somebody, you know, because that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God continues on. It says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The Spirit of God wants us to be living after the Spirit of God, which is God's heart. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemns sin in the flesh. The law could not make us perfect. The law was weak. It was on stone. It was something that when you went to the temple, you read. It was something that whenever you saw it, you read. But it wasn't in here. It wasn't in the microphone either. It wasn't right here. And it was weak. It was without the power to transform us. It gave us rules. It gave us regulations. You know, this you cannot do on the Sabbath day. This you cannot do the rest of the week. You know, you cannot kill a man unless he goes before a court of law and he's proven guilty. All these other things. But God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Do we have the Spirit of God living in us? It's easy to come up front, or sit back in the pew and say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Make me clean. That's the first step. We have to do that. But are we allowing him to live through us? Because he will change us if we allow him to. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. If we allow the things of this world, if we allow sin to become, to continue to be who we are, and we don't change it, we don't reprimand it, when we see sin inside of us, and we say, oh, well, we're okay because I got the blood of sin to cover me, and we continue living that sin, we are sinful creatures, and the blood of Christ is not covering us because we went outside of his covering. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We have to live by the Spirit of God. We will do the laws of God because we love him. Because the Spirit of God living inside of us convicts us to do that. Isaiah chapter 58. Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. God is commanding Isaiah right now, in this passage. Same thing he commands us. To stand out, to preach against sin in the flesh, to stand firm. You're not doing anybody a favor by standing back and saying, oh, it's okay. I know what you did last night, but Jesus still loves you. He does. That's the reason he wants you to change. But like I read the first part of that verse, there's therefore now no condemnation. A lot of people don't want to finish their sentence. You have to change if you want Jesus to accept you. There's a difference in love and acceptance. I can love each and every one of you in this room. I love my family. But some of the things that they do, I cannot accept. Some of the things, the people that I love, some of the things they do, I cannot accept. Because it's sin. And God doesn't either. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. How often do we see it? In our families, but in our churches especially, this is what it's speaking about, his people. They like to come before God. They love to feel his presence. How many people here do not like to feel the presence of God? Do not like to feel the Spirit of God? Is there anybody here that does not like to feel the Spirit of God? I love the Spirit of God. I love being in his presence. I love feeling him. But God is more than a feeling. Doing the will of the Father is required. They say in verse 3, "Wherefore have we fasted," say they, "and you don't see us? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takes no knowledge?" You're not accepting what we're doing. "Behold, in the day of your fast," this is God speaking, "you find pleasure and exact all your labors." You're supposed to be coming, you're supposed to be praying before God, "Oh God, you know, forgive me." And then you turn around here and you're doing whatever else you want to do. You're playing, you're kicking around. If you're serious before God, get serious before God and give him your attention. How many times when you're talking with somebody, I know this is a pet peeve of mine, and I'm in the technology age, I guess. I'm not technologically advanced, but I'm in the technology age. When you're talking to somebody, they pull out their cell phone and they're just, Yeah. Maybe you're telling them what just happened last week. You know, maybe you're telling them what just happened with your girlfriend. Maybe that your best friend just died, or, you know, that your dog's sick, you know. Something important to you. And they're just like, Oh, yeah. Well, that's nice. I mean, I'm sorry. We do that to God too often. Does that make you feel special to that person? I mean, does that really make you feel like that person cares for me? They're texting their friend about going to the party tonight. They're acting like that they really care about me. They ask me how I'm feeling, how I'm doing. I'm telling them, and you know, they're watching their watch. They're carrying on another conversation. Maybe they're watching a football game, and they're not really paying attention to me. We can get by with that with our friends. A lot. Eventually, if you do that enough, if you do that all the time, you're not going to have that friend no more. Somebody does that to you all the time, it's not a good friend. Do we do that to God? We're supposed to be devoting our time to him. What are we doing? Are we giving him our time, or are we just there? "Behold, you fast for strife and debate. You smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high." He didn't say you couldn't fast like that, but he said, you shall not fast this as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. If you want me to hear you, you ain't going to do that. You're not going to be doing all those other things. You're not going to be keeping your attention other places. If you want me to hear you, you're going to have to pay attention to me. You're going to have to give attention to me. "Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him?" So make a show of it. You know, just go in Walmart parking lot and let's go get us an old rag and get sackcloth and ashes, you know. We'll just put some ashes on her head. What are you doing? Oh, I'm praying for God. "Wilt thou call this a fast and acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen?" God's saying, this is the fast that I have chosen. You turn that around. Instead of it being a question, it's the matter of fact. He's making a statement. This is the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. What's holding you back? What's holding you down? This is the kind of fast that God wants. He wants us to loose the bands of wickedness. Don't be saying, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then be planning the next thing you're doing next week that does the same thing. God, I didn't mean to go get drunk last night. Hey, guys, tomorrow night there's a party. You know. Don't do it. If you're going to fast, make a change. If you're going to ask him for forgiveness, change what you did to have to get the forgiveness in the first place. To loose the bands of wickedness. That means you're getting rid of them. That means you're going straight to the problem and you're trying to fix it. To undo the heavy burdens. What's keeping you down? What's keeping you back?
Well, you know, my job told me they wanted me to work this weekend and Sabbath. And you know, I get holiday pay because, you know, it's Christmas time, and I'm going to get double time too. I can't help it. They asked. No. Stand your ground. Say no.
If that's burdening you down, don't allow them to do that to you. Don't do it. Get rid of it. Whatever the problem is, that's just one itsy bitsy little thing. You know, there's things that hold us down every day. Is that our friends? What's it say? Undo the heavy burdens. Don't mean you can't be friends with them anymore. But don't hang around with it. Don't let that corrupt who you are. Scripture says that bad company corrupts good morals. What are you around that's dragging you down? What are you doing that's dragging you down? It says to let the oppressed go free, that you may break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? So now he's saying, bless other people. And that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house. Take care of my people. Christ talks about in a parable how that people came to him. And they were before God in judgment. And he's saying, you didn't take care of me. When I was hungry, I was naked, I was in prison, I was sick. These people say, what are you talking about? I never saw you. I never saw you in sick or in prison or naked or hungry. I would have taken care of you if I knew it was you. He says, so as you didn't do it to the least of these, you did it not to me. He says to the others, so as you did it to those, you did it to me. I don't care who it is. If they're hungry, they need something to eat. If you are able to bless them with that, bless them. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hidest not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Only after you do these things. We love the blessings of God. We love to feel God's presence. We love it when the Lord blesses us in what we're doing, whether that's our family, whatever our problems are. We love it when he blesses us. But he's saying, up here they're crying in verse 3, why ain't you hearing? And he's giving the answer right here. I will hear. I will listen. But you have to do these things. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and Yahweh shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he'll say, here I am. I'm right here. I'm waiting for you. But we have to be righteous. We have to be searching out holiness. We can't be letting the things of the world hold us back and hold us down and pull us down and drag us down. We've got to get rid of them. We've got to give God our time, our attention, give Him our devotion, and be serious about Him. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the things that are holding you down, the yoke, the things that are your burdens, the pointing forth of the finger, hey, look at them, look what they're doing, you know? No, don't do that. Because, like they say, I'm pointing at you, but I got three fingers pointing back at me right now. We're the ones we're supposed to be fixing. Not everybody else out here. We're supposed to be fixing ourselves. And when we do that, others can see an example. And speaking of vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, be serious. Let it hurt you just like it's hurting them. Because you see them hungry, cry about it. Be serious about it. Don't just be like, oh, well, that guy was probably a bum. He probably gambled all his money away and probably drank it and poured it down the drain, you know. If you was in that same situation, how many people here have never made a mistake? That's a lot of hands. I was kidding, I know. We've all made mistakes, okay? Some of them have been a lot serious than others. Be concerned about them. Satisfy the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. I don't think he's talking about when it's storming and cloudy either. I think he's talking about one of those really pretty, beautiful blue days, a couple wispy clouds in the sky, sun shining right down. It's nice. That's the way God wants it to be in our lives. But we have to listen to Him first. And Yahweh shall guide thee continually. But we have to allow Him to guide us first. We have to listen. We have to do what He says. And satisfy those thy soul in drought. Right now, we're not worried about a drought right now, but we might be worried about the crops not coming in because they're all drowned out. But He'll take care of us. He will make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Constantly flowing, always having the presence of God, always having the blessings of God in our life. I'm not saying that next week I'm going to see Nate on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire smiling up there holding a $1 million check. But He's going to take care of our needs. He's going to take care of Nathaniel's needs. He's going to take care of your needs. Every one of us here, He will take care of what we need. And they that shall be of thee shall build up the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. But first we have to allow Him to work through us in order for Him to do that. And thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, the restorer of paths that we dwell in. This is a promise. You know, the scripture talks about generationally you shall be blessed and generationally you shall be cursed. I don't remember the generations, but so many generations. That's what He's saying right here. We allow God to work through us. We allow our families to see through us, living, breathing, examples of God. Then our children. It says, they that be of thee, your children, your seed, shall build the old waste places. They shall raise up the foundations of many generations. Because of your righteousness, because of your obedience to God. Don't we all want that? Don't we want to see when our kids are 40, 50 years old, their kids coming up more godly, more righteous, doing greater things than we could have ever imagined, doing better? We want to see our kids doing better than we did. As individuals, as parents, We want to see the future generation getting better, not worse, not declining. But first, we have to have our hearts in tune with God. It says, and thou shalt be called a repairer of the breach. You know what a breach is? It's a hole. You can have a whole wall right here. But if you got that opening right there in the center, it's vulnerable. It says you repair it. You fix it. The restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. Here's Sabbath right here. I'm just kind of stomping on it, you know, kind of walking on it. Here's my foot. I'm on the Sabbath. That's the way I like to view it. It's if you'll turn your foot away from the Sabbath, get out of his Sabbath. Okay? It's his. He created it for us. Don't be stomping on it. From doing your pleasure on my holy day. And call the Sabbath a delight. Don't be saying, "Ah, I could be at a football game today or basketball game. Buddies are out on the lake fishing right now. Oh, I'm stuck in church." Don't do that. Rejoice in it. Call it a delight. The holy of the Lord, honorable. And you shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Did you hear that? That last line. The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. That's a promise. It's not a question. It's not something that's not going to happen. If we will follow him and do what he asks us to do, he will bless us. There's not a question mark. There's no dot, dot, dot. No, et cetera. He will bless us. No questions asked. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 13, or 12 and 13. Says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't let sin have any part of who you are. Don't let sin get away with you. And don't let yourself get away with sin, because God's watching. You ain't going to get away with it. Neither yield ye your members as instruments as of unrighteousness unto sin. So don't allow yourself to be used for any sinful purpose. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So do the opposite. Be used as an instrument of God against sin. Be used for the glory of God, not against him. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 through 16. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? Are we still wondering, God, what, you know, okay, so what do you want us to do? What is your request of us? but to fear Yahweh thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve Yahweh thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, everything that is within you, to love him and to serve him, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for your good. He didn't give these to us because,
I'm the big man. I can tell you what to do. I kind of like to have this control.
No. Every single law that he has given us is for our own good, for our benefit. If we keep it, you know, it's such a horrible thing to have to take a day of rest once a week. Man, does anybody here ever get tired? Have you ever get tired of working day in and day out? He gave it to us for us. He didn't give it to us for his sake. He gave it to us for us, for our physical bodies, because we have to have rest. He knew that we would work ourselves to the absolute ground and die if he didn't give us that day of rest. And for our spiritual well-being, so that we can be with him. And he will be with us. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God's. The earth also, with all that therein is. It's not a question of what he's asking, saying there. He's saying everything's his. It's not a question about it. He made it. He owns it. It's his. Only Yahweh hath the delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. He loves us. He cares for us. He loves us so much that, we were talking about last Sabbath, he told us not to eat meat on the third day. Why? Because he don't want us to be sick. He told us to rest on the seventh day of the week. Why? Because anybody ever heard the term bed rest? When you're sick, you need rest. He don't want us to be sick. You have to have rest to keep your body whole. Your body has to have time to mend itself. He loves us, and he cares for us. That's why he gave us these laws. That's the reason he gave us this word of God, so we can know the difference between right and wrong. Because there will be a day. There's not a question about it. And this, I don't care if I'm talking to an atheist. Maybe you are an atheist. Pretty sure you're not because you're here. But, you know, just making a statement. If you're an atheist, I don't care. You can believe that there's not a God. You can tell me there's not a God. And I can tell you there's no air because I can't see it. I can't feel it. But it's there, okay? One of these days, it says when the books are open and the judgment is set, Jesus Christ will be sitting on the right hand of God. Ah, do you think that? No, I know that. Okay? And he's going to say, come to the right hand, you blessed of my Father. The ones who are doing the will of God will come to the right hand. They will live in an eternal kingdom. Call it heaven. Call it the new heavens, new earth, whatever. Call it the new Jerusalem. We're going to live with Jesus Christ. The ones who have not obeyed his law, the ones who are unwilling to do what God tells them to do, if they're unwilling to serve God, if they're unwilling to get rid of their sins, He's going to say, go to the left hand. Because there is a place of fire, there's a place of torment. He tells them that he's going to send them to a place that's reserved for the devil and his angels. Burning fire. It's not a joke. It's not a laughing matter. Has any of you ever touched a hot pan? I know that feeling. It's no fun. For days, if you burn that hot enough, it will burn. That's one little part of your body that's been burned. It's not a joke. It's not a laughing matter. That stings, but we don't know pain. There is a literal burning hell for each and every person who does not live righteously, who doesn't make it to the kingdom of heaven. If we sin, that separates us from God. If we live outside of what God has told us to do and commanded us to do, that is going to separate us from God. That's going to send us to that fire. I've heard people before talk about hellfire brimstone sermons. You don't hear a whole lot of them anymore. Not today's society. How many times have you heard Joel Osteen talk about hellfire and damnation? I don't care what Joel Osteen preaches. I don't care what Joel Osteen says. He has some good points. But this Word of God tells me that we're supposed to fear. Right there in verse 12 it says, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord the God. We're supposed to fear Him. New Testament says, do not fear man who is able to destroy the body, but fear God who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. It's not a joke. It's real. Verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. Don't be stubborn. Don't joke around with sin. Don't play around with it in your life. Don't be stiff-necked and say, oh, I'll be okay. That's what Pharaoh did. See where it got him. His heart got hardened. He had multiple times that he could have just let them go. The children of Israel could have went free. Nothing else would have happened. God said, this is for my glory. Don't let yourself be like Pharaoh, who when the last time, the last straw came, him and his entire army were washed away in the waters. God doesn't put up with sin. There will be a day when he's not going to put up with it any longer. Is that day going to be too late for us? I pray to God it's not. Luke chapter 16. Verses 19 through 31. It says, there was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. I just lost my spot. That's pretty good. 21. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. That's all he wanted. He was that destitute. He just wanted the crumbs. It's pretty bad. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may just dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. It's going to be hot. And you think biting into a habanero is hot. You ain't seen nothing yet. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from here to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come here from there. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. I'm sorry. Now I'll change my ways, but I can't do it. It's too late for me. Would you please send him to talk to them? Would you please send him to speak to them and tell them what's going on down here? I don't want them to go through the same thing that I'm going through. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. We have the Bible. From the front cover to the back cover, each and every bit of it, our laws, each and every bit of it, our stories about what happens if we do good and if we do bad. God has given us this, the Old Testament and the New Testament, to teach us. Are we reading it? Are we obeying it? Do we really even care? And he said, nay, Father Abraham, no, that's not good enough. But if one went to them from the dead, they would repent. That's not good enough that you've already given it to us, that you've already told us, that you've already laid it forth in Scripture, black and white. No, that's not good enough. But if you would send somebody from the dead to make them believe, they would. Father Abraham said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If we're not listening to this, if we're not reading this, if we're not believing this now, we're in bad shape. Because there's coming a day that we'll have the option. We'll be in Abraham's bosom, or we'll be there with the rich man in hell. And there's no in between. Do we take what Moses and the prophets have told us? Do we want to believe that? For the fear of God, do you want to believe that? Do you want to listen to that? Because that is the difference between heaven, and that's the difference between heaven and hell. Which one are you going to choose? There's one right way. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 1. Verses 5 through 9. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God does not have sin dwelling in him. God is perfect, he is righteous, he is light. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are liars. We lie and do not the truth. If we say that we are walking in the ways of God, and we're not, we're doing the sinful things. We're walking in darkness. We're not playing. We're not pulling the wool over God's eyes. We're not making Him think something different than what's already there. He knows the truth. We are lying to ourselves. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Each and every one of us has sin within ourselves. Each and every one of us have things that we need grace. We need God's mercy for. That's the reason Jesus did come and He did die for our sins, so that we don't have to carry those anymore. But we have to give those to Him. We have to get rid of those. And we can't keep carrying them. We have to let them go. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to challenge you. This right here used to be a place where people gathered. It wasn't because they were dying from a disease. It wasn't because they had just committed some great sin. It wasn't because their wife was leaving them and they wanted reconciliation with her. It's because they loved God. It's because they wanted to be closer to God. People used to come down here and pray. People used to come down here and ask God for a closer walk with Him. They used to come down here. They used to ask Him to help them with their day-to-day lives, to help strengthen them. And I'm asking right now, if any of you want to come down here and pray right now. It's open. June's going to sing, just play us that song softly for us. And I'm giving us a time of prayer right now. You're welcome to leave if you need to make noise, if you need to talk. You're more than welcome to. We're going to take a little bit of time right now to come before God in prayer. Maybe you do have something you need to bring before God. Maybe there is a sin in your life that you need to make restitution for. Maybe you need to tell God and be forgiven of it. Maybe there's something that you're holding on to that you just cannot seem to let go. And you need to ask God to help you with that. And maybe you just want a closer relationship with Him. But if you would, it's open. It's here. It's available. That's what it's for.